You have to read them really fast, though. Otherwise, you lose sense. She is quite the writer. So, very impressed. All right. So, just want to bring your attention to the connection cards again. Place to put prayer requests and praises on there, questions, changes in information. You can put that on there and drop it in the basket on your way out. Excuse me.
You're here.
Thank you. So why are you here this morning?
Food.
Yeah, he said it before Ray could. You stole Ray's line. I saw you had your hot sauce with you. Are you here this morning to hear God?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I had to learn this when I was going to Bible school. So when I was going to Bible school, you know, I was just being inundated with, you know, knowledge and Bible study and just saturated. And then I would go to church on Sunday morning, and the message was rather on the light side. And I got really frustrated with that. But what I finally had to do is come to that conclusion that it doesn't matter who's up front, it doesn't matter what they're saying, God has something for each of us.
Amen.
If we're listening for His voice. So I really hope that when you come on a Sunday morning, you're not coming to hear what I have to say, but you're coming to hear what God has to say. Because God can use even me, a cracked pot, to speak. Have you ever been discouraged? Maybe you're discouraged right now. You know, some of the topics that we've been talking about, I think specifically of the, you know, the issue of, you know, political leaders and some of that kind of thing, it's very easy to get discouraged in this day and age. Sometimes we suffer rejection or we have disagreements, and that can discourage us. Maybe we've lost a job or we haven't found a job yet. Maybe we're single and we would like to not be. Maybe we're infertile, or there's illness, or we're dealing with financial issues, or maybe it's just politics. And we get discouraged. And we may say to God, God, I don't get it. Why can't I fill in the blank? Or why don't you fill in the blank? We need to know, though, that we're not alone, that it is the human condition. Discouragement is part of humanity. We see a lot of biblical examples of discouragement, especially in the Old Testament. We see Sarah, who didn't have any children, and that was a huge issue in that culture. And she wanted a child, and God had told them, you're going to have a child in His timing. But Sarah stepped out and told Abraham, here's my maid Hagar, have a child by her, and that'll be the same. But what we find out, it wasn't the same. In fact, it caused her more discouragement. It caused conflict. And she blamed her husband for it. Because, you know, we human beings are terrible at taking personal responsibility. We want to always blame someone else. In fact, when The angel came back and said specifically, and she's listening at the tent door, that you're going to have a child. And she kind of giggled to herself. Oh, yeah. Abraham's an old dude, and I'm an old lady. How's this going to happen? And when they confronted her, she said, no, I didn't laugh. But she had. Or even Abraham. So he has this child, Ishmael. And yet, God says that's not the promised child. But there's some discouragement there because He loves Ishmael. This is His child. Or Rachel, another woman who was barren, who didn't have children. And I love this response. This is in Genesis 30, verse 1. So she had no children. She didn't bear any to Jacob. She became jealous of her sister who was having children. And she goes to Jacob and she says, "Give me children or else I die." Because it's all up to him, right? Or David. David comes back from a great battle and they get back to their town to find out that some others have come in and taken off with all the people that were left. And even after this great victory that they've had, all the guys, of course, are going, "Wait a minute, they took all our kids and our wives and they were going to stone David." And he had much distress over that. But David also knew where his strength came from. And at the end of this section, this is in 1 Samuel 6, they wanted to stone him. But it says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Because he knew where his strength came from. He knew he had been called by God. Or what about Job? Talk about somebody that could be discouraged. So according to Scripture, he lost 11,000 animals. He lost 10 children. And as I was reading it this week, I thought, I wonder if he had grandchildren. He could have lost 10 children plus grandchildren. Most of his servants. And then eventually his health. Here's a guy who could say, "I'm discouraged." And we would totally understand. In Job chapter 4, verse 5, one of the guys is speaking to him and he says to Job, "Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened feeble knees." In other words, he's telling Job, you know, in the past, you've encouraged people. But he goes on in verse 5 and he says, "But now it's come to you, and you're impatient. It touches you and you're dismayed." In other words, as long as life was going along great, you were fine. But now that it's affecting you, it's a whole different matter. And isn't that true for us? You know, life's going along good. It's like, "Oh, great, everything's wonderful," and we try to encourage other people. And then when it happens to us, we're just like, "Bleh. Why is this happening to me? It's not fair." You've never thought that though, right? Discouragement can come from lost hope, from failure of yourself or even failure of others, trials. Discouragement isn't sin, however, but it might tempt us to sin. It might tempt us to blame God or to break that relationship with Him. So the first one here in your handout, tempted to seek fulfillment in our flesh because God's not working fast enough. So I need to jump in there and I need to do it. I need to fill this void that I'm feeling. You know, the main human motivation in pretty much everything is selfishness. That's pretty much what humanity is motivated by. Own self-interests. Pushing our own agenda. We can try to fulfill ourselves with things or with other people, but the problem is it's fleeting. It doesn't last. And the dissatisfaction returns. We're tempted to interpret the Bible for our own interests. You know, we want to justify what we're saying, how we're feeling, what we're doing. We want to justify that by God's word, and so we'll take things out of context. It's happened ever since there's been God's word. Stuff has been taken out of context. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself." You need to ask yourself, whose interests do I have in mind? Do I have my own personal interests in mind, or do I have someone else's interests at mind? And to be honest, because it's easy again to justify, "Well, I'm doing this for their own good." Really? Are you doing it more for your own good? The next one is, we can be tempted to doubt God's promises. We become short-sighted. You know, we just see what's right here in front of our face. We don't see the bigger picture of what's going on. We become impatient. Our prayers aren't answered, and we get angry. God, why aren't you answering this prayer? Excuse me. James speaks to this. James 4:3. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, your motive is selfishness. So no wonder God's not answering. And then we doubt God's goodness and we doubt his love because he's not doing what we think he should do. The next one is we're tempted to doubt God's plan. You know, many times we can see God working in other people, but we have a hard time seeing God working in our own lives. You know that saying, hindsight is 20/20? You know, it really is. Because a lot of times we can look back and go, oh, I see now. The problem is looking ahead and getting a vision for the future and what can happen. And we think, well, this can't possibly be God's plan because I don't like what's happening. So it can't be God's plan. Or we might start thinking, well, God doesn't really care about me. You know, he cares about these other people and that other person, but not really me. And we start having our little pity party. Well, that's not true either. 2 Corinthians 1, excuse me, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. God does care about us. Adam and Eve doubted God's plan, or at least one of them, and the other one went along. We're all pretty familiar with that story where the serpent comes to Eve and says, well, why shouldn't you be able to eat from that tree? You know, God's withholding something good from you. And then Eve starts to justify it. Well, yeah, that's true. God wouldn't want to withhold something good from me, right? So she was doubting God's plan. She was doubting God's leadership. We learned a few weeks ago that we're supposed to submit to authorities, whether they're the church authorities or the secular authorities. We're to submit as long as they're not going against God's word. We're to submit to those authorities, and that's what Adam and Eve ended up doing. They submitted to those authorities. And then what did Adam do when God confronted him? Well, wasn't me. It was that woman. Oh, and by the way, that woman that you gave me. So now what's he doing? He's blaming God. God, it's your fault. James 1:13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. It wasn't God's fault. God said, here's the lines, here's the parameters, live within those and things will be good. You step outside of those parameters, not going to be good. In fact, he said, in the day that you eat from the tree, you're going to die. And they didn't physically die that day, but death happened. Sin came into the world. We grumble and we complain. God, I don't like this plan. I don't like what you're doing. I don't think this is right. We find ourselves complaining and not being content. And we start blaming others. Well, it's other people's fault. When we need to be looking in the mirror and saying, how much of this is me? How much is this really my issue? James 4:1 talks about the quarrels and the conflicts that come up. This is right before the part about prayer. Because we're in it for our own personal interests. Again, that selfishness. So what should we be doing? We can know that God's enough. We can know that God's enough, that God will provide. Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor your body as to what you will put on it, because God will take care of you. Seek after Him and He'll take care of you. We need to learn contentment. Paul in Philippians 4:11, he says, I don't speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Whether I'm in jail, or whether I'm in the synagogue. Whether I have enough, or whether I have very little. Paul was able to say, I can be content because of my relationship with God. Because of my standing with God. That's why he could be content. And that's why we can be content. God is enough. God provides us salvation. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no name, no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ, and it was God who gave him to us. It was God who was willing to make that sacrifice while we were still sinners. While we were still in our sin, God made that sacrifice. We can trust God's promises. We can trust God's promises. Exodus 12, looking at the Exodus. So God had promised 400 and some years prior to that, he had said, I'm going to bring you out of slavery. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. And he did it. Almost to the very day that he had promised it, he brought them out of Egypt. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God's promise to us too. God will take care of us. God will hold us up. You know, we can probably, most of us, attest to experiences in our lives where we have seen God work, where we've seen God move in our lives. We've seen things happen that is beyond the norm, beyond the natural. We've seen God's faithfulness in the past. So why would we doubt God's faithfulness in the future? Because we start looking at ourselves. We get our eyes off of him. God tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken us, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. And you may be sitting there going, well, wait a minute, I was tempted in this thing one time and I gave into it. God didn't help me. Here's the question you need to ask yourself. It says here, God will provide the way of escape. Did you take it? Or did you ignore it? Here's the escape from that temptation, but you have to take it. God's showing it. We can trust in God's will. God totally understands. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. When Jesus came, he lived on this earth as a human being, as a man, and that helped him to understand exactly what we go through. And God is saying, you can trust in my will because I totally understand. He has a plan. Even in the hard stuff, he has a plan. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy. Brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There's something that's going to come out of it. Endurance will come out of it. And then, once the endurance is there, it will have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So yes, there's trials, but here's why there's trials. Here's where it's leading. Here's where it's going. So that it creates the person that God wants us to be. He takes us through the trials. God's in control. He is always in control. When Jesus was in the garden and he was agonizing over what he knew was coming, he went to the Father and he said, Father, if there's any other way that this can happen, please do it. But if there isn't, then your will be done. Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. We need to keep reminding ourselves, God, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. We need to be so careful where we place our hope. We looked at this a couple weeks ago too. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. But what I want to encourage you to do is where you place your hope. You need to be careful where you place your hope. Your hope needs to be placed in God, not in man, not in man's things that he's contrived, not even in ourselves. We need to hope in God. Knowing who he is and what he will do, that he loves us beyond measure, and that even all the hard stuff we go through, he has a plan in that. He has a plan in that. I'll leave you with this section in 1 Timothy 6:13. Paul speaking to Timothy, the young pastor. He says, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who testifies the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about in the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Store up for yourselves treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. It just, there is encouragement there. There is challenge there. There is answer to life's questions there. But so many times in our humanness, in our flesh, we want to seek it somewhere else. Because we always think, well, it might be easier this way. It's never easier outside of God's will. It may seem like it, but it really is never easier. It's always better to be right in the middle of what God is doing, right in the middle of God's will. And many times that means going through the hard stuff. But God has a plan. God loves us. He cares for us. He understands what we're going through. Father God, I pray this morning that your people have heard your voice, that they have a deeper understanding of who you are and who they are in you. That if anybody's discouraged this morning, they can go to a brother and a sister and say, can you pray for me? Will you pray with me? Will you encourage me? We're to bear one another's burdens, but we can't bear one another's burdens if we don't know what they are. Swallow your pride and ask for help. Father God, I thank you for this place and these people. And Father, I pray that you would bless them to overflowing, that you would provide for them all the things they need in their life to serve you to the best of their ability. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, real quickly, just want to go over the bulletin. Just a reminder that the adult class, new adult class has started. You can still join that. And then next Sunday, after second service, we're going to have a Q&A just dealing with